All right, all right.
I'm joined here with the fellas. You know, my co-host is always Ben Johnston. How are you, Ben?
I'm doing well, man. Looking forward to the holiday, and things are turning up in the real estate market. So it's a good day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we got an esteemed special guest, Chris Fisher, my credit guy. He's going to school us on everything to do with credit today. I'm super excited. This is great. First of all, welcome to the Sacramento Real Estate Show, where we talk everything real estate, lending, in Sacramento and surrounding areas. And we're just excited to be here. We thank you guys for joining, checking us out today. So, just some quick real estate news. As Ben said, you know, things are really heating up in the market, and we're excited. If you have anyone you know that's thinking about buying or selling, don't hesitate to reach out, because we're here to help. We're ready to get it started. So without any further ado, Ben, why don't you introduce Chris and kind of give us some background, or do you want to just throw it to him and let him do it himself?
Yeah, I'll give you a little intro, Chris. So I've known Chris for a while, and my credit guy is just a tremendous credit repair program. I go to him for all the advice that I need to share with clients. And they just have a really, really good process. They have good pricing. And so if somebody's in need of credit repair, he's really the go-to guy. And we get them over as a referral. They do an introduction phone call and provide great service. So I'm excited to have you on here, Chris.
Thanks for having me, guys. I look forward anytime I can share a little bit of credit knowledge to people. I jump at that opportunity. So thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. Of course. Absolutely. So Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been in the credit repair industry going on 9 years now. My credit guy is an 8.5-year-old company. It was a good buddy, his wife and myself. We're working for that, at the time, kind of that typical credit repair company that a lot of people hear about. We weren't liking what was going on, so we broke away. My credit guy was founded as a 3-man crew out of the den of our house, believe it or not. And now we have 3 offices across the country with like 62 or 63 full-time employees, really just providing that service that we always wanted to, right? It's all about getting people in, getting people out, and getting them back to the home loan. It's never about, you know, sitting in my program for, you know, 6-12 months, anything like that. Ben will tell you around 10% of the files that Movement Mortgage sends over to us as a whole actually end up back at the closing table just based on some free advice. So whether it's just some free advice that I can give you with that initial call, or, you know, you do have a few blemishes, right? I'm talking collections, a little bit, things that are a little bit more in depth that you got to work on. We're here to help. And it really is, as long as someone's, you know, really ready to hit it head on, we can typically help them and get them back to the closing table. So been in the industry 8.5 years, and I've been loving every minute of it.
Oh man, that's great to hear. Thank you for sharing. So let's get right into it with some Q&A. So my question is, are you nationwide or are you regional?
So we work in 49 out of 50 states. The only state that I cannot do business in right now is Georgia, just because they wanted us to like reclassify our whole business that's been in the industry now for 8 years. They wanted to basically reclassify us as for nonprofit. So we can't work in Georgia right now, but 49 out of 50 states we're able to work in. And like I said, even when it comes to like Georgia, I'm able to, you know, get in there and provide some like free advice to those borrowers and kind of push them down the right direction even so.
Oh, thank you for that. Okay. So let me get started with my story. So I grew up where my parents and grandparents, they really didn't teach us about credit. And matter of fact, my grandfather was like, if you can't pay for it with cash, then
right, man, they're like, if you don't have the cash, don't get it. It's like,
yeah, it's like credit and taxes, man. I wasn't really taught about those, and unfortunately that's where I got in most financial problems was with credit and taxes. So I totally had a misconception how that was done. And so kind of give us a little idea of what a new person starting out, a young person maybe, or even an old grizzly guy like me can do to kind of just dispel that thought.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like you said, man, like that's a lot of people's thoughts in today's world, right? If you can't afford it, you don't need it, until you're looking at buying a home loan, right? That you need $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, whatever the case is, wherever you're at. Now, the problem is if you have no credit at all, literally when Ben pulls your credit report, you're going to have no scores. You're not going to have any credit history. They really look at it as more of like a riskier file than somebody that has, you know, three, you know, revolving lines of credit, an auto loan that they paid off, credit history, right? So if you do not have anything opened up, and a lot of times, like you said, man, it's like college students. I went through it too, man. They bombard you with a bunch of credit card offers that honestly you shouldn't get, you can't afford, right? Like, and then you just max them out buying all the stuff that you don't need during college, right? So my advice always is, when you get out of high school, you're 18, you're starting your journey, right? Your credit journey. What I like to do is I like to get people on a secured credit card, just a $200 secured credit card. They use it like a debit card, right? They go, they buy a tank of gas, they refill it. They go to the grocery store and get some peanut butter and eggs, they refill it. It's just showing on the FICO scoring model that they're tapping into like the credit utilization part of the scoring model and the payment history part of the scoring model, which is 65% of the credit score, right? So you really need to start that credit journey just on time payments, right? When the way you get to an 800 credit score is 15, 20 years of on time payments through credit cards, a mortgage, an auto loan. The easiest way to start though, Eric, is through secured cards. I have one over here. Ben might know about it at this point as well, but it reports within like 10 business days to all three credit bureaus. And then it re-reports three times in that first month versus going to like your typical Capital One or, you know, Wells Fargo and waiting for that 30 to 45 days. So a secured card is your best bet to get started.
Man, thank you for sharing that. So my next question on the line of actually improving your credit, what are some of the common issues that you see from borrowers that are coming to you for help?
Yeah, so typically what I'm seeing in today's market, right, is lots of credit card debt, right? That's going to be the first thing that I look at as a credit guy, just because I'm telling you, every time I take a look at a credit report, I go through it line by line. I determine whether we can assist, whether it's just, hey, pay down your credit cards, because you're going to see a score jump of, you know, 40, 60 points just by paying down your credit cards. That's always the first thing that I look at, Eric. Now, if you're a little bit lower, you know, 520 credit score, 500, something like that, sometimes there are medical collections, old late payments, old bankruptcy items, stuff like that on the credit report that I'm able to go into more times than not and help borrowers get it cleaned up, right? But the first thing I always look at is credit card debt, because we're 65% of the borrower score, and it's a way that you can increase your score immediately, right, within the next couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I know we're in real estate, Ben and I, Ben, so, you know, you probably get this a lot, and I'm sure, I do. I'm even guilty of that. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. Credit karma, man, you pull that up, you look at that score, you ready to do some backflips sometime. It looks great. Yeah. Like, it's very warm, makes me feel all good inside, right? So tell us a little bit about some of the challenges. Let's start with you, Ben, and maybe you guys can correspond with that and how you guys face some of those things when helping borrowers.
Yeah, definitely. So when I'm talking to someone and we're starting to get into the process, maybe we haven't done an application yet, I'll ask them if they use anything to monitor their credit. Because oftentimes your bank will send you a credit score. You know, I have Wells Fargo. They put that in there. I use mint.com to look at all my bills. They do a credit score. And Credit Karma is a really popular one, right? A lot of people use that. And Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the last time I checked, there were about 26 different credit algorithms that are going to look at your credit history and everything on your record, if you will, and they're going to generate a score, but they generate things differently. And as far as I know, one thing Credit Karma doesn't take into account is paid collections. So they kind of toss that out of the scoring altogether. And I've seen it go both ways. So somebody will tell me they have a 700 on Credit Karma. I pull it and it's a 640. Sometimes people say it's lower and we pull a little bit of a higher score. So it's really important that we get the score that we use when it's time to qualify for a mortgage. And we can actually do that in two phases. So on initial application, we can do just a soft credit pull to pull one score just to get an idea of where you're at and run that up against your Credit Karma just to see how accurate it is. And then when we actually approve you for a loan, we do the Tri-Merge credit report, which pulls Experian, TransUnion, and Equifax. And then we use the middle score out of those three. So was I correct on that as far as Credit Karma goes?
If I had a hammer and a nail, man, you hit it right on the head, man. Like, all it is different.
I'm still up to date.
Yeah, you're still up to date, man. It's just different scoring algorithms. They factor different items into the scoring algorithms. My whole thing, and a lot of people don't like to hear sometimes, but I'm like, Credit Karma isn't going to approve you for your home loan. Ben is, right? Mm-hmm. So don't trust your Credit Karma scores. Now, they're a good gauge, and they're awesome to like give you updates on if something went late or something like that. But the scores kind of toss them out the window and just use it to track your credit. But yeah, man, you hit the nail on the head right there.
Awesome.
Ben is on top of it, man. That's why I love him helping my clients for sure. So along that line, I mean, you mentioned Ben brung up some paid collections. So, you know, there's a theory out there, at least that once you pay it off, it goes away. So can you talk to us a little bit about that, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. So right, there are two different kinds of collections that you need to be talking about, right? Because there are medical collections where, you know, someone went through some unfortunate event sometimes, and it's an auto accident or whatever the case is, it'll be a medical collection on a credit report. Now, in 2022, they actually passed a new federal law that all paid medical collections must be removed from the credit report. Right. So if it's a medical collection and the borrower has paid that, then they have to, by federal law, remove that. And we've been seeing it where they remove it within 30 to 45 days. Right. One reporting cycle is all they typically need for that. Now, a regular collection, say you have something from Comcast that went somewhere, you know, you had an old power bill, something like that, that went somewhere. You have to make sure that you get what is called a pay for deletion letter in place before you actually pay that account off, right?
Let's slow down. That's juicy right there, because, you know, you have some of these collectors. Truth be told, I was once a collector. So that's how I started off in the business. So
You'll tell borrowers what they want to hear sometimes, right, man? Like, oh, it's going to reflect as paid in full on your credit report and all that stuff. Well, that does not help a borrower when they just pay a collection off. Even though it sounds nice and it sounds great on the phone when they're talking to them, they have to get a letter in place. It's called a pay for deletion letter. We help borrowers with it just to make sure that they actually have that correct documentation in place before they pay Joe Schmo Collection Company. Because after you pay Joe Schmo Collection Company, you lose all leverage, right? Like, they have their money, they're out the door. Eric's made his commission on the deal. You know, it just works like that, where it's like, they don't have any skin in the game anymore. So you lost all leverage, and now you have to ask them to remove it out of the goodness of your heart. Now, if you have what they call, like I said, a pay for deletion letter in place, basically what it is it says, hey, Joe Schmo Collection Company, once you receive this payment on this collection, it needs to be removed from the credit report completely across all three bureaus or however many bureaus it's reporting on, right? As long as you get that in place, then you're covered. And then if they don't remove it within 30 to 45 days after you pay, you take that letter and you send it into the original creditor certified mail and the three credit bureaus. So that way you can say, hey, look, this creditor actually agreed to this. We need to remove this before we come after them for damages because they agreed to do this. So the pay for deletion letter is crucial.
Thank you.
Sir. And if I can comment really quick, absolutely, that's probably one of the most common things that we see when we pull a credit report. It's medical collections. I don't want to go into it too much, but our medical billing system just needs help desperately, right? I mean, our family, we've had bills that got lost in translation. There's miscommunication between insurance and hospitals and doctors. So that's very, very common. And when we're looking at a mortgage, because we understand that that system isn't perfect, a lot of times we can omit medical collections from our calculations when we're looking to pre-approve you for the loan. But it is good to get to the root of the issue and get that taken care of. Like Chris said, making sure that you're having the conversation, getting the proof that you need to remove it later before you pay it. And then again, utilities, cell phone companies, Comcast, PG&E, whatever it is. A lot of times when somebody moves out of a rental, if the new person doesn't put that bill in their name in time, they might be getting hit for an extra month that they didn't even know about. So that stuff is really important to keep track of, and we can help you navigate that. That's not something that's necessarily going to require Chris's help, but I'm kind of the first barrier to analyze those things and let you know what we do need to research, what we do need to take care of. And so that's all part of our process, you know, from Eric to myself and through to Chris as well. So.
All right. Thank you for that, Ben. So Ben, on that line of, based on that answer, you mentioned that, that's not something that Chris would necessarily take care of. What in your, experience is the type of client that you would, send to Chris?
So kind of like what he was saying, someone that needs a little bit more work done. If a collection company is just putting up a wall and you're not getting anywhere with them, you can't get information, you're not having success getting the stuff that you need. If there's like late payments and there's certain explanations for that, or even debt settlement, things like that. If you just really want advice on what to do with a circumstance that you had in the past, if it's beyond my scope and my knowledge, that's when I do an introduction to Chris. They do a great introduction call. And if you're in need of their services, if he believes that it's going to take some additional work to get taken care of, that's when you can, you know, enter into an agreement with them and have them handle it. Because, you know, like you and I, we're busy. We got jobs. We don't have hours on end to be spending on the phone with creditors and stuff like that. So he's really a professional and has a great team that can handle those things efficiently for you and just kind of get it out of the back of your mind, you know, because that stuff tends to linger and create stress. So,
yeah, absolutely. Credit can be stressful. So, Chris, walk us through what that process looks like. So, Ben, because this is probably how it's going to go, right? I call Ben, say, hey, man, I got somebody who's looking to get pre-approved. I talked to them. They said they had some things on their credit. Ben gets them. He does his due diligence, helps them out, looks at it, finds out, man, we need to call my credit guy, right? And so now it's on you, Chris. Walk us through what that process would look like for a potential client that needs your help, please.
Yeah, absolutely. So we start everything off with a full free review of the credit report, right? So that initial conversation, you are not going to have a dime into it. It's where we're going to go through that credit report line by line with you. We're going to come up with a game plan to get you back to Ben and Eric for that home loan as soon as possible. Ben will tell you, I'm 100% referral-based company. We don't do Facebook ad leads, any of that stuff, like never have in the 8.5 years that we've been doing this. Everything comes from referral partners. So our whole process is designed to get you in and back out to the closing table, right? So if I take a look, or my team takes a look, like Ben said, I do have a team that really does a great job, right? Back in the day, it was me. I was doing all of it. I was calling every single referral, signing everybody up, coaching everybody, sending out the disputes. We were doing all that, right? I have a team now that's going to be calling the borrower to start with that free review. They're going to start with that free review. They're going to come up with a game plan. Now, if the borrower, and this is just kind of a typical credit challenge borrower, they're going to maybe have, like you said, some collections on there, late pays, old BK items, stuff like that, that's just inaccurate negatives. If that's on there and they agree to the process, as far as like, we're going to start doing a bunch of cleanup work. We're going to do tons of credit education and budgeting with the borrower, where they have a one-on-one credit coach holding their hand to make sure that by the time they exit the program, they're credit experts, right? My whole program isn't a repeat customer program, right? I want to get you in, get you out, get you back to your loan officer and realtor and never hear from you again, right? Like, I'm going to teach you guys more than you want to know about credit. So they have a one-on-one credit coach. And then, like Ben kind of touched on a little bit ago, we also have a full debt settlement team as well. So if that's needed in your specific case as the borrower, you have some collections that, like Ben said, they're putting up a wall, they're not talking to you, they're not giving you the answers that you necessarily want to hear, let my debt settlement team jump on the phone with you as well and see if they change their tune a little bit. Normally, it's about a 3 to 5 month service. The borrower is going to typically have around $500 to $700 over the course of the program invested in my program if they choose to enroll. But like I kind of touched on initially as well, around 10% of the leads that we see don't even need my service, right? We go through it. We go through line by line. They need 20, 30, 40 points sometimes. And we're able to just say, hey, pay down this. Here's a medical collection where you're going to gain 20 points by paying it off. And then they don't even need my service, right? But that's a pretty typical process. Start with the free review, come up with that game plan, and really leave it up to them whether they want to proceed or not.
Man, yeah. Thank you for that. That's a great explanation.
I'd like to add one other thing on top of that, because it would be easy for Chris to get in here and tell us how great he is, right? I will say that my credit guy has actually been vetted by Movement Mortgage on a national level. And so for him to be our preferred credit repair provider, it's no easy task. So this is not a fly-by-night company. It's not one of those debt consolidation companies that's going to say, stop paying all your bills, start paying us. I've had plenty of clients talk to those types of companies. So Chris and the team is truly top-notch. I've never seen anything like it. Their follow-up is impeccable. The service they provide is worth its weight in gold. And so you're in really good hands with my credit guy for sure.
Man,
that's awesome.
I was going to say, thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. I mean, I never like to get on here and like beat my chest that we're all good and everything, but we are on pace to help Movement. Just so we're on pace to help Movement as a whole this year close around 200 extra loans from credit challenge borrowers. So, it's just one of those things where like, it's all about getting you in. And we've had this month alone, 50 come in just because they're pushing it forward before the holidays. They wanted to close before the holidays for their family and stuff like that. So I appreciate the kind words, Ben. I truly do, man.
Yeah. You guys are great, man. I've seen it firsthand many, many times. So we appreciate you too.
Yeah, man. Thank you, Ben, for the introduction. I'm loving it, man. I'm loving what I'm hearing already. And his name is just awesome, man. We go together like peanut butter and jelly, man.
Yeah. Real estate guy, credit guy.
Yeah. My credit guy, man. I'm loving it, man. So, okay. I do have another question for our listeners. So what is, and help me if I can formulate this question better, but what is some of the things that will harm your credit? I don't know what should I say, the fastest or decrease the most amount of points?
Yeah, what's the way to basically take you from good credit to bad credit as fast as possible, right?
Yes.
I tell everybody, guys, it's that first initial late payment, unfortunately, right? I see sometimes where, like, you know, a borrower will literally be at like a 620 score, 720, 620, 640, whatever the case is. One late payment will drop their score down to like a 520. Like, wow. That first initial sting to the credit report is what hurts it. Now, as you progress.
So can I ask one question? So when you say late payment, and is that anything that reports to your credit, or is it like a car loan or a credit card, or maybe even student loans or mortgage? Yeah. Does it matter, or is it just a late payment all across?
Anything that reports to your credit, whether it's reporting on one bureau or three bureaus. Now, the accounts that are reporting to three bureaus are obviously going to sting a little bit more. The only reason I clarify and say that the ones that only report to one bureau is because I still have a small town bank that only reports to TransUnion in Iowa, right? So, but yes, that initial first 30-day late payment. So that's the thing, that you have to be 30 days late. It's not like you're 7 days late and they're going to ding your credit right now, right? They give you 30 days to get everything caught up, but it's that initial sting, right? To go from a 30-day late to a 60-day late, you're going to see another, 30-point decrease, something like that. But on that initial 30-day late, man, it's sometimes 100 points that we see it ding their credit. So the late payment is a huge one. And then Ben will tell you too, like, maxed out credit cards, right? Maxed out credit cards are another things that, if a credit card's over 50% balance to limit ratio, it doesn't matter if that credit card is 15 years old, it literally is dinging their credit. So if they made on-time payments for 15 years, but their credit card is over 50% balance to limit ratio, it's hurting their credit. So once they get it below 50%, it starts to not hurt. Once they get that below 30% balance to limit ratio. So if you have a $1,000 credit card, keep it under $300 at all times if you can, especially when you're going to pull credit, because that's when it actually starts to help your credit. So, but yeah, man, that first initial late payment and credit cards are the ones that I see that are killing the score the fastest.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, man. That's serious, because sometimes people judge it by, what's most important, so I got this credit card or my car payment, which one can I pay or which one isn't going to hurt me as much. But the true answer is, Chris just gave it to you here, just that first initial late payment can potentially bring you down 100 points. So along that same line of questioning, Chris, let's get some sprinkle some sugar on that. So what can a borrower do to what is the fastest way to increase that score?
Yeah. So the flip side, right? Pay your credit cards down first and foremost, right? Okay. There's also other ways, and Ben will tell you, right? So there are certain programs with medical collections that you don't factor them in and all that good stuff. And I let Ben always cover that with the borrowers, but also paying a medical collection off can help boost your credit score quickly, because it'll remove it within 30 to 45 days typically. But the first thing is, I always check credit cards, man, just because seven, eight out of 10 times more, and it's increasing every single day. You can check the news, like, credit card debt is at an all-time high right now, right? So the easiest way to do it is pay down your credit cards. I've even recommended to close family friends of mine, guys, like, they've thought about going into like debt consolidation programs where you, try to settle it out and stuff like that. You're better off actually going and getting a personal loan and chunking down all your credit cards versus like taking out a HELOC or anything like that. So credit card debt, pay it down, get it below 30% balance to limit ratio. The ideal range is under 10%. If you can get that under 10%, you'll see your score skyrocket, just because, like I said, it's worth about 65% of your score between the credit cards that you have and on-time payments on your credit report.
Wow. Thank you, sir. You guys hear that? This is important information. Brought to you by My Credit Guy. And a quick disclaimer, it's not a one size fit all. And Chris has told us that, so it's important when you face it. First thing you don't want to do is stick your head in the sand and wish it away, because that's not going to move the needle at all. If you're looking to purchase a home, come to me. I can get you to Ben. Ben will have that conversation. And I know it's at least you'll know what you need to do. And then Ben is going to send you over to Chris is going to give you an idea of the best way to increase your score. And the good news is that, you know, I experienced that last year, or excuse me, 2020, and I'll just be really transparent. My credit wasn't so well. I mean, I had tax debt. I had, like I said, I wasn't schooled on taxes and credit, and my credit was bad. And once I, before I purchased my home, I had to actually pay off a lot of credit cards. You know, we had to pay off. We're able to get our taxes reduced. And that once I bought my home, guess what happened? I was able to furnish it because we had to save a lot of money. And it just released this burden, man. I felt like I could breathe. You know what I mean? I literally, I was going to bed like, man, I never owed this much money in my whole life. And, you know, so we were able to get that done. And not only that, but the funny thing is once that happened, my mailbox was full of offers for more credit cards and more this and more that. And so they have a quick their memory isn't so long. So they really want to keep you in their fold. So, yeah, man. Ben, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, Chris, you nailed it. Credit card debts passed like $1 trillion, the highest it's ever been. And one kind of issue that we're seeing right now is there's plenty of clients that Eric and I have helped that maybe want to buy a bigger house next year, or they want to change neighborhoods or whatever that is. And a lot of the problems right now are, like Chris said, high credit card balances in comparison to your limit. But if we've owned real estate for a couple years, 5 years, even 3 years, there's an enormous amount of equity in your house. I just had a client, just a quick case study real quick. Last month, it's a retired woman, and she was talking and was contacted by one of those debt consolidation companies that was advising her to stop paying her credit cards, make one payment to them, and then over time they would settle the debts with the creditors. That would absolutely destroy this woman's credit. She owns three houses, Eric. She owns three houses. So she talked to her real estate agent. They sent her to me. I talked to her. I was able to get her an equity line for $70,000 in a week to get all of her stuff paid off, consolidate the debt into one loan. So the reason I bring this up is if somebody owns a house right now, chances are there's equity in that home. If you're planning forward and you want to buy a house with Eric next year or 2 years from now, we can talk about using that equity to consolidate those credit card balances, get them low, to start building that score back up. So when it's time to make a move, your score is prime, and then you can just pay the equity line off with the sale of your house. So, just wanted to share that with you. Oh, did we lose him? I can't see Eric anymore.
I don't see Eric. Eric, did we lose you?
Sent me a text. Yeah. So, that's a perfect example of, you know, her score was suffering a little bit, and she felt like she didn't have any options. But here she is sitting on all this equity in some rental properties that she had. So, yeah, prime case. Long story short, between Eric, myself, and you, Chris, you guys have a ton of resources just a phone call away to be able to go through your situation. I know that talking about credit is a little taboo. It's a little uncomfortable at sometimes. But, hey, if you're going through an issue and you need help, we're going to come to you with an unbiased opinion and just give you the facts on what to do to get it corrected. And we definitely have the resources to help. So, yeah, we appreciate you guys watching. I think Eric jumped. Oh, he's getting back in right now. He had some connection issues. But, credit card debt, it's at an all-time high. Equity is high as well. So there are options for those of you out there that own a house, or if you're planning to buy a house, you know, make sure you're developing those good habits and getting your credit score right, because that definitely helps on your rate and everything else.
Absolutely. Well, and another thing, while we're waiting for Eric to jump back in here, another thing that borrowers can do, Ben, is get your stuff on auto pay, right? Like, don't avoid going down that, you know, unfortunate, we were talking about that 30 day late that really stings the credit initially. You know, get your stuff on auto pay so that way the minimum payment's always met. And then you don't ever go down that, you know, that road of unfortunate credit. So that's always one of my tips that everybody's like, man, it sounds so simple, but it really is. Like, I see doctors that make $750,000 a year come through my program because they forgot one Capital One payment, right?
Like, yeah, that's true. And like you said, that first 30 day payment can ding.